Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Friday preview episode of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, it is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, it might be too late to get an order shipped for Christmas, but it's never too late for hot sauce. They have the best hot sauce, including Thai flavors, Bucholica. They have the Ghost Pepper, Reaper Madness. It's the strength of 10 peppers in a 1 ounce shot. They have the best knives for kitchen, for hunting, for fishing. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINT and get 10% off your order today. Once again, that's jldsharpsauce.com. Get 10% off today. They are the reason you get this for free. All right, Andrew, the Saints are playing the Steelers Sunday at 3:30. We got into it a little bit on the podcast, but as always, we dive deeper for this episode. The first thing that comes to mind, the Saints' offensive line is potentially not a mess, but they're going to have three new dudes starting. They could have Pete at left tackle, Clapp at left guard, Cameron Tom at center, and then Warford and Ramczyk on the right side. So my theory is this. I was listening to Trent Dilfer talk about the Rams struggles, and he was mentioning something about that you realize it, but you don't, and that when a team plays one formation like the Rams, the thing that teams can hone in on is not the receivers and the routes and all that. It's that when you run one formation, you can only protect the quarterback so many ways, right? You know? So teams focus in and attack your protection schemes, and the Rams, and when they run all that formation, they only have three or four, the teams are just killing them. So I was thinking the Saints, obviously, formation teams to death, right? That's part of their core offense. So even though the Saints, with all the injuries and offensive line issues they had, would they try to formation the Steelers to death to slow down the pass rush, even though it's kind of counterintuitive with a bunch of new guys on the line?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I would like to see them go more 11, more jumbo sets, and have just more blocking on the edge. Now, you saw them do it a little bit with Will Clapp in the last game, and they kind of had to ditch that when Unger went out because then Cameron Tom had to come in, and they were a little bit thinner. And then when Bushrack came out, Pete kicked over and Clapp came in. And so then they didn't have any extra offensive linemen, so they couldn't really run those jumbo sets anymore. You know, they tried to do it maybe a little bit with Josh Hill as the jumbo guy, but I would like to see more of that, especially in this game because their lineup is somewhat decimated. It'll give a look the Steelers won't have seen a lot this year on tape from the Saints, and it'll allow them to maybe lean on Ingram a little bit more and kind of ask more out of their running game. So that's what I'd like to see out of the Saints, maybe shrink the margins a little bit, run a little bit more in this game. If you have to punt, you have to punt. And you trust your defense because your defense has been playing well. So I would prefer to see that kind of game than the Saints try to stretch it out and pass. And you mentioned on other shows that the Steelers' pass rush is so good. I mean, that's the best way to neutralize a good pass rush. So, you know, obviously easier said than done. Hopefully the Saints have success. It's very hard to show a run formation and run successfully out of it because the team is going to be expecting it. But going into this game, I think the Saints have to at least try to do that and punt if that's what they have to do to try to protect Drew Brees. I think this is gonna be a tough game. So you talk about the offensive line stuff. I mean, we don't know. You know, they do have Derek Newton on the roster. Would they maybe consider putting him at left tackle and keeping Pete at guard? You know, I don't know how far along he is. That's probably not as wise as maybe sticking with Clapp and Tom, who have been through all training camp and everything. So You know, my instinct is that Unger's going to be out because Unger had a concussion, and you know, I just think 6 days is going to be too short. So my guess is that Unger is going to be out. Bushrod, we don't know, so we'll have to wait for the injury report.
Yeah, and the thing is too to remember, you know, you mentioned the three tight ends. You know, it's a long time ago now, but in 2015, the Saints, they shipped out Akeem Hicks, right, and they traded him to New England, and everybody was like, what are the Saints doing? He's a starter on defense, and they're getting the Patriots' third tight end who wasn't even playing. But the Saints, that kind of kick-started their offense that year, where they started running three tight ends, and the Saints run that in a way where they designed it to where it would help Breeze reveal what the defense was doing. And, you know, it seems 1,000 years ago now because they have Michael Thomas and Kamara and all this, and the offense is different. But there's no reason they couldn't, you know, maybe go back to it and lean on it heavy against the Steelers Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'd be a nice wrinkle, too, where maybe the Steelers don't prepare for it, you know, and it could catch them off guard. And, you know, I mentioned this on the podcast on Monday, but I really just feel like I'm actually kind of glad the Saints are going through this right now, because I think it's going to force Sean Payton to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more innovative, and maybe just pay a little bit more attention to what can we do right now that makes us successful. And I just feel like if Sean Payton's spending extra time tinkering in the lab, I can't help but think he's going to figure it out. But I think this game is important, even though the offensive line is banged up. I think it's important for the fan base. You know, I think it's important for fans to see the offense kind of bounce back and have a good game, maybe even more so than for the Saints and their own confidence. I think Breeze has a high degree of confidence, and I think he knows that he can fix and repair things, and I'm sure Sean Payton believes that too, but I just think the fans really need that right now. So, and you know, I think it'll help the media narrative nationally. So, I'm hoping for a big bounce back performance. But again, when you talk about shrinking the margins, for me, the magic number is 23. I think you got to hope that you run the ball way more than you're normally run it. If that means more Taysom Hill and more Mark Ingram, less Alvin Kamara, less Michael Thomas, so be it. But I think you want to really try to run as much as possible. Hopefully you get a couple turnovers here and there, which give you shorter fields to work with.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a big return out of Kamara or Tommy Lee Lewis. But I think the magic number is 23. You just got to hope your offense gets to 23. And then it's going to be up to the defense. Can they hold Big Ben and that offense, that high-powered, very potent offense, can they hold them to less than 23 points and win this game?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I joked on the podcast that I would love to see it to be Saints win 10-6, and then we can just have full-blown panic from the Saints fans, and the national media can decide that the Bears or the Rams are better, and then the Saints can use that as fuel and then come out and stomp somebody on the bye week, which would be delightful. But I just think this game, like, fans, we need to have...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
I have a different mindset with the O-line beat up and all that. Like, yeah. I don't think they're going to, like, the offense is going to be kickstart it and they're going to blow the Steelers out. I don't think they, even if they were completely healthy, like, the Steelers defense is good. And I know the Steelers are 8-5-1 or whatever, but their losses have been, like, close. Like, they gagged it up against San Diego. They gagged it up against Cleveland. They blew it against.
Yeah, they had no business having that tie. I mean, they should have won that game running away.
Yeah, and same thing with Denver. Like, they ran some goofy stuff in the goal line. It blew up in their face. So they're a really good team, and I just think it would have been hard going anyway. So I just think, you know, at the end of this game, if the Saints, you know, say the Saints win and it's 24-17 or whatever, I'm going to be looking at, you know, if the Saints can get their running game going and do things on offense with a revamped offensive line, I think that'll be a great sign. You know, but
I just think it's important to remember that, like, Armstead's going to come back, Unger's going to come back, not for this game, but eventually, and Ginn hopefully comes back, like. Things will be okay for the offense. Like, they will figure it out. So, like, I think, like you said, I think you've come into this game with lower expectations offensively. We know the offense is struggling anyway. Coming back at home helps, but then your offensive line is decimated. So now it just really becomes like, all right, we know we're coming into this game limping. Our offensive line is weaker. How do we mitigate that and just try to find a way to dirty this game up enough to make it competitive? And try to steal it at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the Carolina game, you know, I joked in my column and I joked on the podcast, like, it was the Saints just stepping on rake after rake after rake. Like, it was, like, I didn't look at that game and wonder, like, oh my God, how are the Saints going to score? I kept saying, don't fucking drop the ball, Ben Watson. Don't have a fucking holding penalty that negates a 17-yard pass play on
the first down. The Tommy Lee Lewis fumble at the end was like the perfect ending to the game for that offense, because great play call, set up well, executed, and, you know, if he doesn't stretch the ball out, he doesn't get a touchdown, but he gets the first down on the 1 yard line and the game's over. He didn't have to score there. That's the funny part, is he gets tackled at the one and it's a first down and the game is over. So, like, a huge mistake by Tommy Lewis, but, like, you know, again, it's like, the blocking was there. The play call was there. The play was basically had, and yet you shoot yourself in the foot right at the end of it, and it makes the whole thing look stupid. And I just thought, like, that was, like, the whole offensive game in a nutshell.
It was. Yeah. It was like a crescendo of just stupid, you know. This Steeler team, man, they're good. They're good. I mean, they have Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger is still excellent at quarterback. Their defense has gotten better as the year has gone along.
DJ Watt he's tough to block, man. That's going to be a handful for Ramchick.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, with Big Ben, man, he has games where, like, he will turn over Benj like a motherfucker, you know, where, like, the Drew Brees, like, this, you know, Drew Brees, as he's gotten older and the Saints have built that roster around him, he sort of knows his limitations, right? And he embraces them. And he hasn't had really his turnover. The offense has slumped, right? The last three weeks, they had the good half against Tampa. But, you know, he had the fumble against Tampa and he had the one they threw. But the other two games, the offense didn't struggle because of 3, 4, 5 turnovers, which the Saints had done historically. But Big Ben, he still got that in him, man. He it is enough, and the Saints defense is to the point now where, you know, in the olden days, we'd just be like wishing on a prayer, wishing on a hope that it's like the turnovers are just, the Saints would just fall ass backwards into them. Why would this happen? We don't know. We're just asking for a miracle. But like, with the Saints pass rush, like, they could force Ben. Like, Ben will do something.
It's going to get about Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You know, so if they can create, you know, if they can create a bunch of turnovers, then they can get ahead. And the interesting thing with the Saints run defense is, it isn't just because the Saints play from ahead. The Saints run defense, Andrew, is good. And I was thinking about this as I was doing some research for the show. You know, the Saints run defense really has been good from day one of this year. And it was the main reason why they almost beat Tampa. Even though Tampa got 24 ahead of them, Tampa was like, oh, we're ahead 24. Now we'll just run the ball on the Saints shitty defense and it'll be fine and we'll get out of here. And the Saints are like, nope. So Tampa, like, you know, they had two possessions where they, like, ran it three times and punted, and it was because the Saints caught up, and that's how they almost got, you know, got the game to overtime. So this, like, Saints run defense, I am completely and utterly confident. We're now with this defense, if it's healthy, like, the Saints decide the Steelers aren't running the ball, they aren't fucking running the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, at this point, I don't see how you could say otherwise. You know, you've looked at what they've done against Gurley, what they've done against Ezekiel Elliott, both guys that are in the Pro Bowl ahead of Kamara based on the way they've run the – but you know, they've played the three backs that are in the Pro Bowl. They played Saquon Barkley also. So yeah. The three guys that people in the NFC, whoever votes for that, between the players, the coaches, the fans, you know, whoever votes to get those three guys ahead of Kamara – deemed as better backs in the NFC, well, all three of them have done dick against the Saints' run defense. So, you know, you look at that and you look at the Saints' success at this point. I know earlier in the season, they're like, well, they haven't really faced a running attack except for the Giants. Well, at this point, you know, yes, they have. They've faced the best. They have faced the three best running backs in the NFC. They've shut all three down. Like, this is no more like a narrative. Mm-hmm. This is no more like something based on a small sample size. This is identity, man. This is who they are. I would say more so than explosive offense, which is kind of maybe taking a hit, or great defense, or great special teams, great kicking game, whatever you want to say. Like, I would say the identity of this 2018 Saints team is you can't run on them more than anything. I would say that's the number one identifier. And in most years, like, since Sean Payton started, I would say explosive offense, great on third down. You know, Drew Brees, it all runs through Drew Brees. It all runs through Sproles. It all runs through Jimmy Grant, whatever. This year, it's their run defense. That is the team's identity.
Yeah, and part of that, too, and we didn't touch on it on the podcast, but we should have, you know, because we look, Eli Apple has been amazing the last 2-3 weeks, so he gets pub. DeMario Davis has been amazing. He got snubbed in the Pro Bowl. He's been great. Cam Jordan, of course, has been great. Rankins is going to have double due sex. But a guy who the Saints brought back last year, he was great last year, was Okafor, Alex Okafor, and he was great, but he blew out his Achilles. The Saints brought him back on like an incentive-laden deal, and he was pretty good. He was better than you thought he would be, I think, early in the year, Andrew, but now it's like a year since that Achilles. And he's been coming on these last couple of weeks. I know you look at the stats, you're like, well, he's only got 4 sacks. But, dude, he's been coming on. He's around that ball. And, of course, he sets the edge in the running. He's been a guy, like, I'm surprised how good he is a year following that Achilles.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. Especially, I mean, you know, I say at his age, I mean, Alex Okafor, I mean, it's not like he's 35 or whatever. I mean, you know, he's still relatively young. But, you know, I think not only is that injury a death sentence for a lot of players, but, you know, he's only 27. But, you know, even if they do come back, they're almost never the same. And I really feel like Okafor this year has kind of been the same as last year, and he's been getting better every week. You know, I just read that article about how critical he is to the punt-blocking team now and how he's on the punt-blocking team on every punt-block formation now. So, you know, I was excited when the Saints signed him. I just feel like he has been unspectacular but solid throughout the tenure with the Saints. And, like, I hope they bring him back again next year. I mean, I know, like, you know, eventually, like, this is Davenport's job and they're going to continue to develop him. And, you know, eventually it'll mean less playing time for Okafor, but I just can't imagine not having him on the roster. I think he's a great pickup, and I hope they hang on to him. I really do.
That's how Philly won last year, man. They just kept hitting Tom Brady in that Super Bowl, and they made him make, you know, a couple mistakes, not even interceptions, just some bad throws. Like, you need, dude, you can never have enough good linemen, and you just accumulate them, and if they leave because you can't pay them all, you try to accumulate more. Like, you can never have enough bodies on the defense. No, I don't think any team in the modern NFL is like, you know what, we got too many defensive linemen, let's just ship one out for, you know, like, they just hold on to them. It's like corner, man. You can never have enough. The last thing I want to touch on, and you mentioned it, and I think it doesn't get enough. You know, we joke about the Saints, the kicking luck, right? And by the way, Pittsburgh kicker, he's terrible. He's probably kicking for his job from this week on. Like, if that dude misses another short field goal, he's probably getting cut. So the kicking luck could continue. But, Andrew, talk about their special team. The Saints' special teams, they were, like, either bad or mediocre the entire life of Sean Payton. They changed the coach. They got rid of Greg McMahon. And they rock now on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just, I think it's a couple things. I think first off, give Westhoff a lot of credit for coaching those guys up. I mean, obviously, he's a great coach, and, you know, they got the kicking game specialist to help Will Lutz, and, you know, and the kicking game specialist is all about transition time from snap to hold to kick, you know, and speeding that up, and getting the trajectory higher. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Bradford Bantha. But they've got another guy. They've got three kind of guys with tons of coaching experience on special teams. They've really invested. They've really invested not only in the coaches, but then when you look at the players, you know, getting Justin Hardy, kind of landing him, and Chris Banjo, and, you know, I just like paying Morstead the money that he deserves, and all that. I mean, I feel like this team has gone out of their way to get the right guys and give roster spots to guys that are helping them, like Robertson, the running back, who's playing a lot on special teams, and Hardy and Banjo, and there's a bunch of other guys. But then it's also just being creative. Like, I just talked about Okafor and how he went from, like, being on one punt block strategy to basically being on all the punt blocking teams because – they didn't realize how good he was until he started playing him, and they were just like, we need this guy. And it's kind of the same thing with Taysom Hill. He started to dabble, and then all of a sudden they realized, like, holy shit, you're our best blocker on our return team, and you can return kicks, and you're a good gunner. And so he just started to get more and more responsibilities. So I think sometimes it's just like you don't know who's going to be good on special teams until you get them out there. And, you know, the JT Gray thing, I mean, the Saints cut him, and he ended up – he's not on the roster anymore, but – I give them credit. Like, I think the Saints haven't been afraid to keep a guy like JT Gray and cut a draft pick.
I forgot he existed. They kept him over, like, two draft picks.
But you don't realize, like, how much of an advantage it is. Like, every game that the Saints go into right now, I feel like they have a huge advantage in that phase of the game over against anyone. Because I know they have a better punter. I know they have a better kicker. I mean, I put up Lutz and Morstead up against anyone. But Morstead's always been good, but like in the Sean Payton era, we haven't always had that luxury. Like, our kicking game is, on the whole, it's kind of been hit or miss under Sean Payton. And a lot of times, it's been pretty bad. And so, you know, like, that's the New England Patriot way. They have always had amazing gunners and a good return game and a great kicker and a great punter. Like, that's one thing when you look at the Patriots, like, it's all about Tom Brady and it's all about Belichick, but what one thing you don't realize is that, like, the one thing that stands out to me during that whole span of them having success, they always, always, always have the best special teams, rock solid. And that's where the Saints are right now. They are owning teams every week, and so when you see the block punt by Taysom Hill, or you see the block punt by Alex Okafor, or the big return by Kamara on a kickoff, Tommy Lee Lewis has been doing a pretty good job on punt returns. Or if you look at their coverage units, Justin Hardy making these plays, like, you look at that stuff, and it's two or three times a game. The Saints aren't missing any kicks. Like, we take that for granted, how, like, every kick is automatic. And every team they're playing, it seems like they miss field goals. And so, like, you get two or three of those – things a game where it's just like a huge advantage is swung in the Saints' favor because of it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the Bill Conley, he has a formula for football. And, you know, I won't get into the math because it's really complicated. But to simplify it, basically it is the three biggest things in football are explosive plays, how many you get, how many you give up, right, plays over 20 yards, turnovers, and then the third thing is where do you start drives, you know? And special teams makes a huge difference. And the thing is, I think as the NFL has tried to, like, de-emphasize kickoffs, right, and punts, you don't see as many necessarily returns on kickoffs, right, because most of them go back through the end zone. So fans look at special teams through the lens of, is our kicker good, and do we have a good return game? Well, the Saints' return game is nice, but it isn't like Devin Hester fantastic, right? So you don't necessarily think about it, but like they had that punt against Carolina where Justin Hardy goes down there, fights off two gunners, and tackles the dude, and he's inside the 20, and it just makes it harder for them to start, you know? If you're giving up, instead of giving up 5 yards, but instead of giving up, you know, 10 yards of return, you're giving up four. It's a big difference, you know. It's the difference between starting at the 40 or starting at the 34. That's a huge difference in drive starts, and I just think it's one thing, man. You know, we joked on the podcast like the Saints missed Ted Ginn because Ted Ginn can swing. The fear of Ted Ginn, right? He can swing a game where like the Saints offense can be struggling, and then boom, Ted Ginn hits a 70-yard bomb, and you're even. Man, special teams. If you are dominating the team, and You might be dominating the score, but 14-3, or like Tampa 2 weeks ago. They're dominating the Saints. The Saints are sluggish. Saints offense isn't doing dick. You know, the Saints got the ball to start the second half. They went 3 and out, and then Tampa got it. They're punting. Taysom Hill blocks that punt, dude. It swung everything. And especially when you play these teams like the Bears in Seattle, where they're going to have to grind you out, and they're never going to really stretch the lead on you, even if they're playing great against you, right? You know, so like in a playoff game, like if the Bears are beating the Saints 10-3 and the Saints offense is bogged down like a son of a bitch, man, the Saints block a punt, it's 10-10. You're like, haha, Chicago, you played great for 2.5 quarters. And guess what? It was all fucking erased because your special teams just got their ass handed to them. You know, so it's just things like that that make a huge difference. But have you changed your prediction before we get out of here? Have you changed your thought on the Steeler game?
No, I think I'm still picking the Steelers to win, and I just think like the Saints have a game to burn here. They have two games left, and I mean, it'd be nice to be 14-2, which would be the best record in Saints history, but I don't think Sean Payton cares about that. I think he cares about getting home field advantage, and I think he cares about, you know, just winning one of these next two. I mean, having 2 weeks off with, you know, if you could just play backups against Carolina the second time would be fine. But I think Sean Payton is going to be inclined to kind of try to win ugly against the Steelers without, like, taking too many risks with health, you know? Because I just feel like there's no fucking way Carolina is beating the Saints in the Dome with what they're bringing right now. You know, you just saw that. Like, I don't even know if Cam Newton would play, you know? And even if he does, like, we've seen what's wrong with him right now. Like, he would be useless. And I just feel like in the Dome, if the Saints have to win Week 17 against Carolina, to me, there's no question they're going to do it. And because Carolina's going to be ready to go home. They're going to be ready for vacation. They're banged up. Like, they gave the Saints everything they had left on that Monday night game. And I think they're done. And so I just think the Saints, you know, and especially if they're officially eliminated from the playoffs and the game really is meaningless to Carolina. I know right now they have like a 2% chance. But it's not that the Steelers game doesn't matter. In a perfect world, the Saints win it and then they move on. But, like, I just think their offensive line is banged up. And I think they can win. I still think the Saints can win like 23-20, you know, and it just be an ugly game and the Saints kind of steal it at the end. But I just think right now with the offense kind of being in a slump and the offensive line being banged up, and then you couple that with Pittsburgh's desperate. I mean, they just played well against New England and they have to have this. I think this would be one where maybe the Steelers find a way to win it on the road, and then the Saints come back week 17 and blow out the Panthers.
Yeah, and I just think, like you said, you know, it isn't that the Saints don't want to win. It isn't that they're important, but they're not going to pay the risk price to win Sunday. Like if it's
right.
if
they don't
if
have
it,
to.
Yeah, they don't have to. They don't have to rush these. The Saints aren't 8-6 and have to win out to get in. The Rams gave them a mulligan or a chance to have the double bye. Either one of them is valuable. I think the Saints. I just look at if I had no rooting interest in this game, I would be pounding the Steelers +6.5 in this game. On the money line too. Like I just think this is. I just think it's a tough spot for the Saints. So we'll see. So anyway, this is Freebie Friday, sponsored by JLB Hot Sauces and Knives. Go to JLBSharpSauce.com. We'll see you after the game Sunday.